This is such a powerful principle. And I want to start in Mark 6, 1 through 5. We're going to preach on the spirit of honor tonight. The spirit of honor. It's something that's being lost in our churches and our culture. There's nothing sacred anymore. People come to church, there's nothing sacred about the pastor, about the worship, about anything. There's just nothing sacred anymore. We've lost the spirit of honor. So I want to talk about this a little bit because it's such a powerful instrument. Now remember, I've been telling you, this is a spiritual church. It just is. You've got a spiritual-minded pastor. You've got a spiritual heart in this place. And so you're going to be a spiritual people. And in that, there's got to be certain principles or you're going to get off and you're going to be a bunch of Fruit Loops for Jesus. Okay? And you don't want to be a Fruit Loop for Jesus. Amen. Okay, so you want to really catch on. So let's start. Mark 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which he's given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" Now he's got mighty works happening. "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty works there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. So in verse 2, he's doing mighty works, and they're being performed by his hand, but by verse 5, he can't do any mighty work. Okay? So, I want everybody to stay with me, the spirit of honor. I've discovered many people don't know how the things of God work. They just don't know. They've been in church all their lives, but they don't understand how the things of God work. God has a lot of things for us, a lot of, I don't know how to say it, but just things for us, okay? But we don't know how to activate it. We don't know how to pull it out of heaven. We don't know how to get heaven to earth. We don't understand that. So it's possible for us to come to church, learn new songs, have a spiritual experience. We talked about that the first time, not spiritual intelligence, just an experience. It's possible for us to prophesy, learn new songs, a lot of great things, beneficial things. But if you don't know how things work, then when you walk out the door, you really haven't been changed by anything. You haven't accessed the kingdom, and you're right back to cussing like you was when you came in. Amen. Okay, so I've been in a lot of places where people just don't know how to extract things. They just don't know how. They're good folks. They love God. They don't know how. But I've been to other places where people actually know how to initiate kingdom stuff. They know how to step in and initiate it. And when you know how to do something, how many of you know it's a lot easier? It's just a lot easier. I was a carpenter for years, and I can actually still swing a hammer, and I can take a big 22-ounce claw hammer and drive a 16-penny and bap, bap, and it's in. Okay? When you don't know how to do that, you'll be hammering that thing, bending the nail, smashing your finger. Okay? Because it becomes complicated. If you know how to do it, it's not complicated for Michael Jordan to slam the ball down. You hear what I'm saying? For me, that's a big deal. It's lucky if I get a layup. Amen. Are you with me so far? When you bake a cake, if you take the eggs and the milk and the flour and the yeast out, don't get mad if the cake doesn't come out right. You've got to follow a certain recipe. You've got to know how it works. You've got to know how to activate it and make it to happen. The missing ingredient that most people have in their churches is right here tonight, the principle of honor. This is the thing we've taken out of the mix, and we're wondering why our churches aren't rising the way they should. Amen. Don't get upset just yet. We've been infected by a spirit of independence, by an arrogance, and by pride. I see it across the church world everywhere I go. Our society is becoming more and more dishonorable and disrespectful. There's no honor of authority anymore. Our young people are being fed a steady diet of this. We talked about it last night. You watch television, the men are a bunch of oafs, the women are a lot smarter than the men, and the kids run the house. All the television programs are the same thing. Okay, there's a steady diet of this in our music. A steady diet of this in our educational system. Okay? Even our young ladies are losing their femininity nowadays. A young lady will fight you just as fast as a guy on the street. You go out in the street, you get whipped by a girl just as fast as you will a guy and get cussed out just like a sailor. By a young girl, okay? So dishonor's everywhere. There's dishonor to our parents. There's dishonor to authority. There's dishonor to the house of God. Anybody in position, there's a spirit of dishonor that's been allowed to run free. We have disrespectful children at churches all the time. I watch them run by and they're just disrespectful. Amen. There's disrespectful church members. There's disrespectful students and teachers, pastors. There's disrespectful public servants, disrespectful politicians. Okay, there's disrespectful. It's dishonor and disrespect are rampant in our society. And then what happens is when a kid's disrespectful to the teacher and mouths off and gets up to the principal's office, what's a parent do? Run down and defend their dishonor and disrespect and get mad at the principal for the kid. Okay? We actually defend this. We actually fight for disrespect. We fuel it with our criticism. We fuel it with our disdain. We fuel it with our familiarity. We fuel it with our comparisons. Everywhere we go, we disrespect. We disrespect. Well, that church ain't as good as that church, and that worship team ain't as good as that worship team. That preacher, man, I really like him better than I like him. And it's a fueling of a disrespect. And so I see this everywhere I go. There's just this thing about tearing it down. Now, in our text, this is what happened. Jesus could not do anything. It was not because he was not capable. He absolutely had the ability. But because they would not unlock him. Hear me. They would not unlock him. They would not honor him, our text says. He even said he wasn't without honor. So we have a tendency to do the same thing. We want to bring people down, and we want to bring them down to a level. Instead of it being Pastor Keith, it's just Keith. We want to bring him down to a certain level because it makes us feel familiar. It makes him manageable to us. We don't, no man needs a title, and we want to do that. But then, see, one day you're going to need him. Now all of a sudden you need him to be Pastor Keith, but you've already brought him down. Oh, I'm going somewhere. You're going to need a little anointing out of there. You're going to need that office to kick in. You're going to need that authority to kick in. You're going to need heaven to understand that chain of command. You're going to need that, and all of a sudden you have locked the service and the gifting and the power of God by the way you've approached it. Oh, amen. Don't get mad. I'm just talking to you. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. And he didn't ask me to preach this, but you're going to get it tonight. He didn't ask me to do this. People want to tear down preachers. But see, the thing happens, they want to tear you down until there's a dire need in their family. And suddenly, they need you to be anointed to help them. They need you to be that prophet. They need a word. They need you to lay hands on. But by that point, they've dishonored you so much that they have actually locked the heavens. These people came out to get a healing, but Jesus could not work there. They locked the heavens. They needed him, but they couldn't respond to him. Now, we know he had the power just up the road. He's healing everybody. Okay? So dishonor is like a tiger, folks. You can't take it into your house, a man-eating tiger, and turn him loose and not expect him to eat you and your kids. You cannot manage him. Okay? That's the way dishonor is. When you turn it loose in your home, you cannot tame it. You cannot tame it. It will eat everything. So you have to understand some things tonight, and that's what I want to talk about, because we're loosing this tiger, this man-eating spirit in our churches, in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, and it's destroying us everywhere. We don't honor our wives. We don't honor our husbands. There's no respect to children. There's no respect anywhere. And we wonder why there's no power from heaven loosed. Well, we've locked the heavens. Amen. Okay? So... First thing you have to understand, I want you to say this with me, God works through people. This means that God is not going to tell you everything you need to know through dreams and visions and angels. Okay? God has put within the body, under the leadership of that body, mantles, giftings, anointings, to edify and build that body. These gifts that we have are not for heaven, they're for here. Okay? They're for now. And they work through people under the fivefold ministry of a church. Once the gift is out of under the fivefold ministry, it's dangerous. Amen. It's not that the pastor's so great, it's that there's a gifting and a mantle from heaven that keeps it in check. Amen. So Jesus is doing wonderful works until he comes to his own town. They treat him with familiarity. They bring him to this manageable place, and he can't do anything there. And they're astonished. See, they were astonished, and they talked about the wonderful works he did up the road. How can he do this? Don't we know this guy? Wasn't that old John? Wasn't that old Bill? They brought him to that place. And so listen to this. He was capable of doing great works. Is that right? They were not capable of receiving the great works. That's what happened. There's a tendency to reduce somebody by a spirit of dishonor to a place where you can have them. You bring them down, and all of a sudden, you limit what God has put in them. You're not able to extract it out of them anymore. Okay? Watch this. This is a powerful scripture. We're going to start showing you some scripture now. Matthew 13:44 says, "The kingdom of God is like a man who hid," everybody say hid, "a treasure" where? "In the field." Now, why would you hide it? Why would you hide a treasure? Well, so that the casual passerbyer won't see it. You don't want somebody to steal your stuff. So you hide it in a field, okay? And it says, "For the joy of the treasure," because he knows it's out there, he then goes back and he buys the whole field. Everybody say the whole thing. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "You have a treasure. And I know you have a field." Everybody in here has a treasure and they have a field. There's a treasure in you somewhere. There's a treasure in every person in this room somewhere. It's hidden in the field or the earthen vessel. You're the earthen vessel. It's hidden in you. God has placed it in there, and not the casual passerby will never be able to extract it out. Oh, I'm going somewhere. The reason it's in a field is because God knows it's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual nugget, if you will. And he doesn't want it just to be squandered and made as common. So the only way you can get God's treasure is you must adhere to spiritual principles. You must adhere to what God's doing. If you want to unlock the real treasure inside people, then you have to come to them in a spiritual manner. Here's the spiritual principle I want you to learn first. Recognition before learning. Say it with me. Recognition before learning. That's the first spiritual principle. Okay? You must learn to recognize the treasure. You have to learn how to recognize your way into something. You can't learn your way in. We think we have to be taught everything before we can experience it. The truth is, you have to recognize and experience before you can even understand what you're being taught. Okay, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you spend the rest of your life trying to learn about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you're going to experience it before you ever learn. You're never going to learn the Spirit. Way too big for you. But you're going to recognize the Spirit. You're going to step into the Spirit. You're going to experience the Spirit. And you're going to learn the rest of your life about Him. Okay, so you recognize first. You learn second. Our progress is very slow in American churches because we learn at the speed of thought, teaching, and learning rather than the speed of spirit and recognition. Okay? My spirit must recognize. I must learn to recognize a treasure. I must spot a treasure. I might be talking to a little woman at the downtown. I might be talking to one of you. I've got to learn to recognize the treasure before I can extract it. Okay? I'm going somewhere. Okay? And I have to be able to see it. I'm going to spot that. My spirit will spot the treasure faster than my mind can comprehend it. Okay? Sometimes your spirit knows things that it takes you years to figure out how to even articulate it. You don't even know how to articulate it, okay? You can't even speak about it. So the teaching, if you have to wait on teaching, you're going to be a long time limited. The Bible says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." So if you receive the Spirit of the Lord, then you're going to move into one spirit with Him. How many of you know He knows a lot more than you know? It's not about knowing. It's about you're going to have to step into something. You're going to get taught on the fly, so to speak. Okay? So you do not learn your way into the kingdom. I want you to hear what I'm saying. You don't learn your way in. That doesn't mean that we don't have education. Doesn't mean we don't study to show ourselves approved. But you don't learn your way. You recognize your way in. You see it. It's a vision. You have to have a vision. You have to see it. Okay? Let me help you with this. 1 Samuel 16:1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'Fill your horn with oil and go, for I provided myself a king among Jesse's sons.'" So Samuel's a prophet. He's supposed to go anoint one of these boys. Now I want you to see what God did not tell him. God did not tell him the name of the son. God did not tell him the age. Give him a description. And I want you to notice that he never even asked one time, God, how will I know him? He didn't ask him what he's going to look like. He didn't say, what's his social security number? Is he good looking like Pastor Ray? It did not matter if Jesse had 3 sons or 30 sons. He did not need to know his rank, name, and serial number. He understood something, that he was going to move by the Spirit, and then when he got there, he would recognize the son. He would just recognize him when he saw him. I'm going somewhere. He recognized Abraham walking along one day, and he comes up to this high priest named Melchizedek. And the Bible says that Melchizedek was a further king, a higher, a more blessed man, and he had a greater anointing. He had a greater anointing on him. Now, I want you to watch this. Abraham's never met him before. Abraham doesn't know this man. But he walks up to him, and on that same day, it didn't take him 3 months to figure out, yeah, that guy's anointed. Mm-hmm, that guy's got the goods. You know, that guy, he's got a PhD. Hangs on his wall. I seen it. He didn't ask him 15 questions. He didn't come up to Melchizedek. Now, what's your belief? Now, do you believe you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? He didn't ask him any questions. He didn't go through any of that with him. He simply recognized. He recognized him, okay? He was able to know what he was looking at. And he was able to recognize what he saw. Everybody say what he saw. Samuel goes down the line of these boys. Not him. Not him. Not him. He doesn't know how many kids he's got. He doesn't know there's another kid out in the field. He doesn't know any of that. He just knows he hasn't seen it. Now, here's something else I want you to catch right here. He feels no need to explain why he didn't anoint the first one. He doesn't say, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I like you a lot and everything, but, and I know God's going to use you. I know you got a special gifting on your life, and I don't know what it is right now, but I know God. He didn't go through none of that. He didn't feel like he owed anybody an explanation. Amen. Okay. He did not know that Jesse had another kid out where? In the field. Hidden in the field. In the treasure, in the field. But he did know that he would know when he sees what he's looking for. For generations, every Jewish male was taken down to the priest at the temple to be dedicated. What was they looking for? They was looking for the promised Messiah. Okay? Somebody had to verify when the Messiah had come. So on the 8th day, every young circumcised Jewish boy was taken down to the priest to be dedicated. Now the high priest's name was Simeon. This was an old man. He'd probably dedicated thousands of babies. And this day, Jesus is placed in his arm. Now Jesus did not have a beard, thorns, and a cross. He did not look like a Messiah. He looked like a baby. Amen. He looked just like any other little Jewish baby. On the 8th day, he still has a little ugly pointed head. Big knob out there for a belly button. Amen. Okay. And Simeon says, my eyes have seen the consolation or the salvation of Israel. As soon as he sees the boy. He had the ability to know what he was looking at. No way to learn it. No way to study it. He had the ability to recognize. Tell me this. How can Jesus land on the shore of Gadarenes and the demons inside Legion, 2,000 of these demons, start to scream out and run up to him, thou son of David, have you come to torment us before our time? They recognized him. Jesus returns back, walks into the temple, and the religious people say, who do you think you are? Demons understood what they were looking at, and religious people still haven't figured it out. Solomon and Abraham were raised by the same dad. David raised both Absalom. Solomon and Absalom were raised by the same guy. Now, one of those kids turns out to be the wisest man that ever lived. The other turned out to die as a fool. Raised in the same house, same dad, same environment. Same spirit, Same worship service, same church. Okay? Judas and John both followed Jesus. They walked with him, talked with him, ate with him. See, it's not really a matter of who is standing in front of you. It's not a matter if it's Ray, Keith. Amen. That's not a matter. It's a matter of your ability to recognize who it is. It's a matter of you being able to recognize, place honor, and unlock heaven that's in them. Amen. I'm going somewhere. What you cannot recognize, you cannot celebrate. Listen, whatever you celebrate, you're going to magnify. I'm going slow so you can catch on. When you celebrate something, you magnify it. Whatever you celebrate in your house, your kids, you're going to magnify it, and your kids will draw into it. If you celebrate football, your kids will like football. You celebrate worship, your kids will like worship. Whatever you celebrate, you're going to magnify, and your family's going to draw into it. So whatever our society celebrates, homosexuality, whatever we celebrate, we're going to draw into. Whatever you do not celebrate will exit your life. You don't celebrate a preacher, he'll exit your life. You don't celebrate a wife, she'll exit your life. You don't celebrate your children, they'll exit your life. You cannot criticize, listen to me, you cannot criticize the success of other people and expect success to come into your life. If you cannot celebrate somebody else's success, another businessman's success, if you can't celebrate what they've done, then success will exit your life. I'm going somewhere tonight. What you won't celebrate in somebody else, if you can't enjoy their worship service, your worship service won't be long before it exits. It did get quiet. If it always has to be about you, and you can't recognize that somebody else really worked hard for that blessing, then the blessing that they have will exit your life. If you can't celebrate it in them, you can't draw it to you. You lock heaven. If you can't enjoy a good sermon by another preacher and say, man, that was awesome, then your sermons won't be very awesome. Amen. You can sabotage, listen to me, because I'm going to help some of you parents, and I'm trying to hit all kinds of areas here to help you, because I know we have all kinds of levels of folks here. You can sabotage the success of your own children by sitting around your house and criticizing everybody else. Because they'll develop, sitting there listening to you, mom and dad, a spirit of dishonor. If you always got to run down, criticize, bring down everybody else. Well, you know, I just don't like the way he did this, and I think, you know, he ought to do that. You're comparing, criticizing, tearing down. While you sit there, amen, or you're sitting there flipping through your channels, criticizing everybody on there, what? Maybe they aren't very good. Maybe they aren't. Maybe it's best. Turn the TV off. Shut your mouth. Because if you sit there and criticize it, what you do is you loose a spirit of dishonor into your children. They feel they can criticize what they don't like too. And they don't like you. They don't like their teachers. They don't like school. They don't like to work. Amen. Boy, we're just going to keep on sludging through this. I learned how to just pull your bootstraps up and keep on trucking, Brother Ray. You must learn to recognize in somebody else. You must learn to celebrate the gift that's in them. And if you can recognize the treasure that's in the field, if you can celebrate the treasure that's in the field, then you will draw the treasure out of the field. You must know, number one, that God works through people. Say it with me. God works through people. He put a treasure in the field, in the earthen. Now, if I want that treasure, what must I do? Buy the whole field. Everybody say the whole field. That means I got to deal with all of y'all. Not just the part of y'all I like. Amen. I must be able to deal and recognize the treasure that God has put in you. I must be able to spot it, to buy it, to draw it out. And I must buy the whole thing. That means I have to put up with your silly little personality. I have to put up with the ugly way you dress. I got to put up with your idiosyncrasies. I got to put up with your racial situations. I got to put up with your weird traits. I must honor you. I must honor you. All of you. Not just part that I like. All of you. I can't have the treasure if I don't take the whole field. Oh, this is going to really get good now because we're going to teach you something, okay? God's kingdom is a kingdom of honor, okay? I must decide that I will carry a spirit of honor. My honor is not based on your honor or your dishonor. My honor comes from my spirit. Everybody say my spirit. You can disagree with people and not be dishonorable. Okay? You don't have to have their political views, and you can still be honorable. Amen. We've got invitations, as most of you know. I open a prayer at the House of Representatives quite often and go down there. The reason I'm selected to go down there is because I don't get up there and start praying, Lord, curse those Democrats and loose the Republicans. Don't start that stuff. And God, bring Obama down, bring him down in Jesus' name. When you have a spirit of honor, it unlocks the treasure that's in you and in them. Okay? Sometimes what you need in your life, listen to me carefully, money cannot buy. Money can't buy some things. Okay? You can't buy health. You can't buy something. There's some things you just can't buy. Okay? Relationships, listen to me, are the currency of the kingdom. Say it with me. Relationships are the currency of the kingdom. Relationships will get you what money cannot buy. People will make decisions to open and close doors for you based on the spirit they feel coming out of you. If you've got a dishonorable, disrespectful spirit, you're a little smart aleck, and you know it all, they'll close doors. They'll sense it. You don't have to open your mouth. They'll feel it. They'll make decisions. When they do office reviews, when people go down to hire out, they go to the back room. That's why you always have that second interview or the third. And while you're gone, after you've done your little paperwork interview, they go in the back. Anybody that's a boss here knows this is true. They don't just look at how you've clocked in or clocked out. The decision makers go in that back room, and what do they say? I don't like the way he or she talks. I don't like their attitude. And more decisions are made not on your production level, but your attitude, your spirit. They decide if there's three or four people that are really good and that one has a good spirit, guess who gets the job? Okay? The relationship is a currency of life. Honor builds a spirit in that currency. So listen to me. I want you to hear me. Every one of you in this room are one phone call away. One phone call away from somebody that somebody knows that you don't know. You know somebody that knows somebody that you don't know. And one phone call could change your world. Could change your world. Okay? Have you ever known somebody that really needed a job, but you weren't sure if you wanted to recommend them? Because you weren't sure if they would work good, be honorable, do their job. So you didn't want to, yeah, they're a brother in the church, bless God, you're supposed to love them, they're Christians, but you weren't sure of their spirit. So you couldn't recommend them. Ooh, I've got the tiger by the tail right now. Okay. So relationships are more important than what you're driving, what you're wearing, what zip code you live in. At the end of the day, what really counts is not if you're in a BMW or a Corolla, not if you're good looking like Pastor Ray, not if you're nice, but nice, fine black jacket. That's not really what matters. What matters is your name, your integrity, and your spirit. Amen. This is so hard for young people to understand. They just don't see it. Words, as your pastor said earlier, are so easy to be twisted and taken out of context. Isn't that true? I mean, I could get up here and start telling lies right now on Jim Eckel. I could just lie on him. Okay, I can tell you stuff. I know stuff about Jim. I've been knowing him for 30 years. See, I can start twisting stuff up. But here's what happens. If you have a relationship with Jim, like some of you do, some of you don't, but just using him for an example, they know just by his spirit if I'm lying or not. That's not who he is. I know he said it, but I don't think that's the way he meant it. Because you hear through the... How many of you know you make mistakes when you say stuff? Sometimes you say stupid stuff. Stuff you didn't mean it to come out like that. I shared one last night. I told the guy, man, it's a miracle your wife's still married to you. And she just filed divorce that day. How many of you know that's a stupid thing to come out of your mouth? You feel like a... You know, you just want to stick your head in the ground and die. You feel horrible. Okay, so you can get that things all twisted up. But if the person knows your spirit, then they know, I know he didn't mean it that way. That's not who he is. That's not what he is. So all of a sudden, what really counts is more than even the words I said, my spirit that I carry. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've had men of God call me up. They'll call me up. Pastor, so-and-so has called me to come preach at their church. Now, I've never been there, and I don't know them, but I know that you have preached there before. And I was wondering, should I go there and preach, or should I go there and sing, or should I be a part of that? Now, these people that have called me are my friends, and they're asking me for a recommendation. And they asked me, would you go? And I had to tell them, no, I would not go. I would not go. When I was there, they mismanaged my relationship with them. And therefore, I cannot recommend them anymore. Hear what I'm saying? I'm not a demanding person where I go. I don't set up all these rules and regulations, but on the other side of that coin, I'm not stupid. I know when I've gone somewhere that there's no honor there. They really just didn't give a flip. They were just doing something to do something, and somebody knows somebody. If you have Pastor Ray in it, it really looks good. Okay, I know when there's no honor. I know when they're playing the religious games. I'm not that dumb. I know when I'm wasting my time. I know when the Spirit has left that house and there's no gifting in the house. I know when the heavens are going to open and when they're not. Amen. Now, I never said anything to anybody in that church. I never said anything to that pastor where I was at, where he mismanaged, where he was ugly. Listen, folks, you don't take a guy and put him in a hotel 30 miles out of town, give him no money, and a hotel that has no phone, no car, no nothing, and leave him out there and not pick him up all day long to feed him. Cockroaches running up and down the wall. You just don't do that. Not when you have a church that can do better than that. Okay? It was just a spirit of dishonor. It was a spirit of disrespect. So now these people, I know they're going to treat them the same way. Would I do that to my brother? No. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So I never said nothing bad to anybody, but I understood that that spirit of dishonor locked the heaven. Now hear what I'm going to say to you. If you mismanage the relationships you have in your life, at the end of the day, you're going to end up in a deficit. If you do not honor the people that God sends to you, later God will not send the people to you that He's honoring. If you don't honor the people that God sends to you, later God will not send any more people to you that He is now honoring. We're always waiting for the big door to open up. But let me tell you something. God's watching how you manage what you have. If you won't wash the clunker you have, why should God give you a new car? If you won't change the oil in the old jalopy you got now, why would God give you a new one to destroy? If you won't clean the two-bedroom house you're living in now and you're believing for a mansion on the hill, I know you're just flipping burgers and you're down there and you're not being treated very well on that little job. But if you'll start to look at that job and recognize that God opened the door for you, you can get out of the situation that you're in by honoring the situation you're in and realizing there's a treasure there somewhere. I'm here learning something. I've got to extract from this difficult situation I'm in, whatever it is, there's a treasure in this field somewhere. Amen. I've got to learn to extract that. The Bible teaches to honor those in authority. Amen? But it also says to honor one another. to honor one another. I believe when you come into a church like this church, that everybody in here ought to honor the women like as if they were their own sisters or their own mother. Amen. And you ought to treat young men in the church like they're your brother or your father. We should treat each other with a brotherly love and with a respect and with an honor. Amen. Okay, I do it all the time. I watch people all the time. Let's just make up something. Let's say this brother's standing in the aisle here, and that brother over there is going to come up and he's going to walk right by him with his nose up. Just stub him to walk up and shake my hand. Snub him to honor me. Is that honor? Hear what I'm saying? I see it all the time. You can't just flip on, folks, the honor switch. You don't just flip it on. You're either honorable or you're not honorable. That's the way the kingdom works. You either respect everybody or you don't respect anybody. Amen. You're surely going to see those people on your way up, the same people on your way down. So you need to... Amen. Okay? I watch it all the time. People are out of control. They're in the church worshiping God, and after church they're in the parking lot yelling at one another. You can't just flip on the excellent switch. You're excellent in worship and spirit, and then you're a devil after church. Come on, folks. You can't just flip it on. And at the grocery store, you won't talk to nobody in the church. Oh, brother, I love you. Well, I like them in church, but I don't want anybody to see me with them in public. Come on. Oh, I'm messing with you right now. Honor is more than just manners. I believe we ought to have good manners. I believe you ought to sit down at your grandma's table and burp. I believe if you see grandma, your mom, any woman, anybody carrying something, you ought to go over there and help them carry it. That's manners. That's good manners. But you can still carry it with a dishonorable spirit. Come here, you old witch. Let me carry that. I don't know why I had to be born a male. Got to carry your stuff. If we was in another culture, you'd be carrying my stuff. You can be filled with an ugly, demeaning spirit and then wonder why you're not blessed. Then wonder why you're not blessed. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm going somewhere. We're going to get a little deeper. Are you with me so far? Okay. 2 Kings 7:1. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord." Now, who said it? Whose word was it? So where was the word of the Lord? It was in Elisha. Who said it? Elisha. Whose word was it? And where was it found? In Elisha, in that treasure, in that field. That's where the word of the Lord was. So it doesn't really matter now at this point if you like the way Elisha dresses, if you like his educational degrees, if you like his background. Doesn't matter if you like his chariot or don't like his chariot. Doesn't matter if you like his servants or the way he runs his business. The truth is, you can't get the word of the Lord unless you go to Elisha. Because the word of the Lord is in Elisha. Oh, I'm going somewhere here. Then Elisha said, "Thus saith the Lord." Okay? "Tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." Now watch this. "The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning," "answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord should make the windows of heaven in heaven, could this thing be?'" Now, can you hear the disrespect? Sure. Can this really happen? You hear the lack of honor in that? How many of you can hear it? Just a total lack of honor in that, okay? Okay, now, what did he just hear? The word of the Lord. Come on, are you with me? That's what he just heard. He just heard the word of the Lord, but he's completely disrespectful. Now, I want you to catch something else. Nobody was talking to him. Nobody's talking to him. They was talking to the king. But he felt, because he was there, that he had the right to open his fat mouth. Oh, come here. What are you doing talking for the king? You have no honor. You have no respect. Watch, watch, I'm teaching you now. Then Elisha says to him, behold, you'll see it with your own eyes, but you're not going to eat of it. Now we're going to lock up the heavens on you, buddy. Okay, watch this. Because of his spirit of dishonor, now he can't partake of the treasure. The same word that was spoke has a completely different effect based on the hearer, the spirit of the hearer. For the king, he's going to receive a treasure. For the royal officer, he's going to die. Same word. Same word. Same service. Same church service. I'm being here preaching, and some of you are unlocking heaven and saying, man, that is an awesome service. I'm like, yeah, sure, buddy. Whatever you want to say. I wish this would get over. Let's get back to singing again. I like that part. Okay? Same word, same situation, same anointing, based completely different by the hearer's spirit. Amen. The spirit is everything. Listen to me. So here's the king. Now, king means he has dominion, means he's the decision maker, means he's in rulership. But, I want you to hear this. This is important. All through the scripture you'll find this. Every king leans on somebody. We all make decisions leaning on something. I want you to hear this. Hear this very carefully. The thing that you're leaning on has a tendency to talk when it hasn't been spoken to. Perhaps the Lord says to me, rise up and be strong. But I'm leaning on, rather than my spirit, my soul. And my soul says, yeah, but that ain't going to happen today. Nobody was talking to you, soul. Nobody was talking to you, mind, you rationale, little Western thinking mind. Perhaps the Lord says to you, I'm going to bless you in your coming. And I'm going to bless you when you're going. I'm going to cause prosperity to be your portion. And your bank account says, yeah, that'll be the day. Ain't nobody talking to you, Mr. Banker. I received a phone call. I shared it with you the first night. Real possibility of $300 million flowing in through some ministry things. 300, that's a lot of money, folks. And as soon as I said it to somebody, they said, yeah, you'll have to show me that. Nobody talking to you. You'll see it, but you won't taste of it. You'll lock heaven. Woo! I'm so used to leaning on something that if I'm not careful, I will listen to its voice. Yeah, I hope you're hearing what I'm telling you. So when the word of the Lord comes to me, I hear it, I want to receive it, but I'm so used to hearing Sister Blabbermouth, and she's such a dominant spirit, and she's been in my life for like 30 years, and you know, she's been right a lot. She's sometimes wrong, but she's mostly right. The prophetic word is always hidden inside an earthen vessel with the purpose of separating you from the thing that's trying to limit your destiny. That's its purpose. Okay? The word does not come to the thing you're leaning on. The word comes to the king, the decision-making part inside of you. It comes to the rulership and the authority inside of you. The word doesn't need to be filtered by anything. It came to you. It came to you. Well, what do you think, Pastor? It came to you. Amen. We respect, we have honor for our pastors. He might say that wasn't wrong word. You better pay attention. But listen to what I'm saying to you. The word came. So the word does not want to listen. Does not want you to have time to study it. Well, let me study that out. Let me just see how that's going to work. Either you recognize it instantly as from God. Right now, you're either recognizing this as a word from the Lord, or you're going to go home and study it out, get the CD and listen to it and see if you agree or not. One of the two. And you should get the CD. You ought to go home and you ought to listen to it 25 times. You got to share it with 35 people and all your employees. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But either right now, you're recognizing when your pastor sings, you're recognizing. See, that's what he does. He recognizes the spirit flow. He's looking for it. He's recognizing. Okay, it's not something you can teach somebody. It's not. You can help. You can do some teaching on it. But it's something that has to be caught. It's not something that doesn't really matter what Elisha's wearing. It doesn't matter what you've heard about Elisha. It doesn't matter what neighborhood Elisha came from. Doesn't matter. Well, these people said that he did this back in his life. When, you know, way back there he did this. He doesn't matter. You must recognize, because whatever you're leaning on will tell you that's not right. Oh, you missed it, but that's all right. Elisha says this. He says, you're going to see it, but you won't have it. Now, you all know the story. But if you don't, I'm going to quickly go through it. Outside the city about that time, there's these four leprous guys. They're sitting outside the gate. They get up and they say, why sit we here till we die? And they start walking. Now, God causes these four old leprous boys' footsteps on the sand. On the sand. He takes that footstep on the sand. That's what blows my mind. Causes it to go up into the atmosphere. Pipes it all the way over across the Armenian army. Makes it sound like a huge troop or army is coming. These four guys are just trying to get to the town. But that sounds like an army's coming. So the Armenian army jumps up, runs out of the city. And when the four boys get there, the city gates are wide open. Everybody's gone. The city's there. All the food, all the treasures are there. All provision has been made. So the old four old boys eat their bellies full. They say, we ought to go back and tell the rest of the guys. So they go back to the city where the king's at, where Elisha's at, where the royal officer's at. And they say, guys, you're not going to believe this, but the Armenian army has abandoned and there is an abundance from... We're not talking about little increase. We're talking about a biblical abundance. Okay? The man on who the king had leaned was then given an assignment by the king because he's the king's right-hand man. And the king says to him, hold the gate open. We're going to bring all the stuff in from that other place. And while he's holding the gate open, the people are so excited. They've got so much food. They've been starving to death. They're so excited. They come running through the gates and they trample the man to death. While he's laying there on the ground, the last thing he sees is the treasure going by. And he don't get none of it. Why? Because he had a spirit of dishonor. That's where it all rooted from. He locked the heaven, missed the treasure, didn't recognize what God had for him. Matthew 10:41. I'm almost done. Jesus said this. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. Now we've gone from a prophet to a righteous man to a disciple. Assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. In other words, he says, you must have a spirit of honor if you want to receive the reward. The honor is the prerequisite for the reward. Honor is the prerequisite for the reward. Be careful. Be careful, folks. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You can obey without honoring. Well, I'll do it. Pastor said I got to do it. Amen. I'm going to do it because I know I have to. You can do something without honor. You can function without honor. Or you can dishonor and, is this making sense to everybody? What's more important than anything is the honor that you have towards the setting. So let me wrap this up with you tonight. Okay. What I see that we desperately need in our churches is again to understand and honor God in our house. Things are sacred. They really are sacred. You need to be careful. It's not that your pastor's ever, I don't, maybe he has, but let me say something to you. When the day that you don't feel like you need to title him, just walk up to Obama and say, hey, Obama. And watch what those Secret Service guys do. Watch what happens to you. Why? He's just a man like me. No, he's not. He carries an office. He does carry an office. Okay? And he deserves the right. Now, because of that office, he's going to be microscope inspected. He better carry honor or we're all going to know he's not. Okay? That's just part of the... That's the name. So in a house of God, the pastor does carry an honor. So you'll never call him, well, he's just Keith. It's just Keith. You keep it up, the devil will catch you. He'll catch you. One of these days you're going to need something from heaven, but you've locked your heaven. You can't receive the word of the Lord that comes through that man. You're going to lose it. Listen to me. It's not, nobody's begging you to do anything. You don't want to, don't do it. But there'll come a day that you'll watch a treasure go right by you when you desperately need it. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not, no, he didn't ask me to do this. He might not, it might probably make him a nervous wreck for me to do it. He probably don't even like it. It makes, can I tell you the truth? It makes you uncomfortable for people to call you stuff. You know, I'm still uncomfortable. For years I was independent. I wasn't in the Church of God for years. And I was just Pastor Ray. Now they call me Bishop. I still can't get used to Bishop. What is that? I feel like I'm a pawn player. Bishop? I'm a bishop? Just, it's hard to get used to that. I have a doctorate now. You know, they call Dr. Ray. That freaks me out. I earned it. I worked hard for it, but it's still just weird. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's that positioning that opens and closes doors. You know why I wanted that doctorate? I want to stick it on my cards. Because when I travel to the Orient, they recognize. And it opens doors that I could spend a lifetime trying to get opened. Are you listening to me? Spirit of honor. Are you with me tonight? I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what can I do to help this church? And I believe you're a spiritual church. I believe there's dynamics going to happen in this church that are off the charts. But if you lose what I'm talking about tonight, you'll lock the heavens over you. You'll go through all the experiences. You'll dance in the Holy Ghost. You'll shout in the Holy Ghost. You'll do all the flipping and flopping. But when it comes right down to the essence of real treasure being loosed, you'll lock the heavens. Amen.